There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Tonight we have a special TaxSlayer Gator Bowl preview edition for you. We want to wish you all a happy new year. I hope you had a Merry Christmas. We have a packed show tonight. We'll have Matt Weaver from Peaks.com on with us, as well as TJ Inman will be joining us here shortly. But first, a word from our sponsors over at SeatGeek. You guys may be looking for seats to the TaxSlayer Gator Bowl or any other event in your area. Use SeatGeek.com, use promo code ACAA, and receive $20 off your first purchase. That basically wipes out any of the fees and puts $20 back in your pocket. SeatGeek is very easy to use. They have labels for good deals, great deals, poor deals, and all of that. It's one of my, I use it much more than I use StubHub now, and use promo code ACAA for $20 off your purchase. So, setting the scene for this for the TaxSlayer Gator Bowl, Indiana will play Tennessee in Jacksonville. In Jacksonville on January 2nd at 7 o'clock Eastern. The game is on ESPN. If you're not by a TV, you can always listen to Don Fisher and Buck Sore on the radio as well. So right now we're bringing in TJ Inman. TJ, hopefully you had a great holiday season, gearing up for bowls, watching some bowl games on TV. How are you doing?
Is that for me or TJ?
Well, we'll start with you, Matt. Matt, hopefully you had a good holiday season as well. Just what are your initial thoughts on the TaxSlayer Gator Bowl?
I mean, I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I think it should be an exciting game. I mean, you know, I don't see any either team is really having obviously like a big edge on the other one. I think it's a game that you know should be go right down to the wire, and you know, it should be a lot of fun to watch. And I haven't watched a ton of Tennessee this year, obviously with them not being you know, on Indiana's schedule or in the Big Ten, but saw them a few times. They're not a vintage Tennessee team, but obviously still have some SEC type athletes and playmakers. So, you know, he doesn't have to play a good game to win, but it's definitely a game that they should be able to have a chance at the end of it.
Yeah, Tennessee comes in at 7-5. They started 0-2. They started actually 1-4 in their first five games. They lost at home to Georgia State. They lost a heartbreaker in overtime against BYU, and then got pounded by at Florida. And then Georgia, and those two-game losing streaks were sandwiched between a win over Chattanooga. They ended the season on a five-game winning streak. They beat South Carolina 41-21. They beat UAB 30-7. They won at Kentucky 17-13 on a goal line stand. They beat Missouri 24-20 at Missouri, and then they beat Vanderbilt 28-10. Tennessee's a very similar team to IU, in my opinion. And TJ, I hope you had a great holiday season as well. But what are your initial thoughts on Tennessee as well?
I think the comparison to Indiana is a pretty apt one. You look at who they've beaten and who they've lost to. You know, they pretty much beat teams that you would have expected them to beat. I think their two best wins, probably Kentucky and Missouri, close wins that they were able to get. The difference, I think, would be that, you know, Tennessee lost at least one game earlier in the year against Georgia State that they should not lose. Indiana doesn't really have a mark like that. I think Indiana should have beaten Michigan State, but that's not a quote-unquote bad loss, losing in East Lansing. Tennessee also should beat BYU at home, but that's probably not necessarily a bad loss. So I think it's pretty similar. Neither of them really had a kind of a statement landmark win on the resume, but coming down the stretch, Tennessee really took care of business. I know that they feel as if they are playing their best football at the end of the season, which is kind of where you want to be. It's going to be interesting to see how both teams respond to the long time off. You never know how teams are going to come out mentally and physically for a bowl game. I do think that Indiana, just on the face of it, probably this means a little more to the Hoosiers than it does the Volunteers. Certainly the fan base, that's the case. Indiana going to the Gator Bowl is a really big deal. For Tennessee, I think it was kind of seen as maybe matching what they had hoped for the year, but probably a bit of a disappointment getting to the Gator Bowl. I think they probably would have hoped for a little bit more. So perhaps the players maybe have a bit more chip on their shoulder, if you will, coming into it with the Hoosiers. And that I think that's a big part of bowl games, is how teams mentally come out. Are they ready to play, or is it more of just a party trip for them? And I'd be fairly surprised if Indiana doesn't come out with a lot of passion and fire trying to get that ninth victory. But on the field, I do think Tennessee has the slightly better talent, but I think that there are much more of a question mark at quarterback for Tennessee than there is for Indiana. I think Peyton Ramsey is a more solid option than whatever Tennessee's going to put out there, particularly if it's Jared Guarantano. Yeah, and I think Ramsey is the better of those two. I think the Hoosiers do have the better receivers, with Jennings not playing the first half, so I'd give the edge in receivers to the Hoosiers. And then from that, my biggest concern for Indiana, though, is IU's ability to stop the running game, because Purdue really put a number on Indiana, and Tennessee has much more talented running backs than the Boilermakers did. So that's a big concern. I'm sure the coaching staff's concerned about that as well. I've been pretty impressed with Tennessee's running game here down the stretch.
Yeah, I've been watching Tennessee's early games. I just finished the Alabama game where, you know, they fought Alabama till the end, but that was the game Tua went out with an ankle injury at about halftime. But it still baffles me that Ty Chandler, he looked so good at the beginning of the season, just didn't really get much run. Now he's their leading rusher at 620 yards, but, you know, they've been rotating backs, and they really didn't play all that much down the stretch for the Volunteers. So we'll see what who's in at running back. I think it's going to be Guarantino at quarterback. It looks like Brian Maurer is dealing with concussion issues. I think Maurer is the better quarterback. He's got a stronger arm. He throws the ball very well. It's a situation much like IU, where although Ramsey is much better than Guarantino for Tennessee, you have a guy who could throw it deep and has more arm strength, or you go with the seasoned veteran, and I think they're going to go with the veteran. But Matt, let's move on to the next segment. What does IU need to do to win the game and end this 28-year full winless streak?
Well, I think TJ made a good point. I mean, and obviously in most football games, it starts with running the ball and stopping the run. And I think on defense, you know, stopping the run, you know, as you talked about the quarterback play, they've kind of struggled, you know, as far as completing passes. I want to say they're under 55%. You know, the other thing I noticed about Tennessee, they're second to last. The only team that was worse than them in the SEC in explosive plays, plays of 10 yards or more was Vanderbilt. So they were 13th out of 14 teams. They, you know, it looks like when they do complete passes, they get some big plays. I think the receivers are averaging a pretty good amount, but they struggle to get big plays. So, you know, I think limiting the big plays, which obviously against Purdue, TJ mentioned the running game, but overall they got some big plays. Obviously Purdue did in that game. You know, limiting those big plays, forcing them into some uncomfortable down and distances, second long, third long, you know, and then just kind of letting them beat themselves. I mean, like I said, it sounds like the quarterback has issues with you know, accuracy and completion. So, you know, I think if you make it where they have to make some throws and plays where they're not really comfortable and they're not second to, you know, third, three, whatever you want to be, what you want to say, it, I think that really plays into IU's hands. And offensively, I mean, we say run the ball. This is a pass-first offense, whether it's Michael Penix or Peyton Ramsey. And the passing game is kind of an extension of the running game with some of the throws they make, especially when Wop's been healthy and, you know, they can throw some of those kind of shorter passes to him. So, you know, just getting into rhythm offensively, that's what you worry about when you come off these long breaks. You know, where are you offensively? You know, which team has kind of got that, gets their rhythm back and their timing back? You know, I think I agree with you guys. Having Ramsey, I think that really helps Indiana, you know, over them just because – and other guys experienced too, but Ramsey just played so much. He's really just playing his best ball. And you know, Kalen DeBoer sticking around, I think the offensive game plan should be pretty good. So, to me, it'll come down to defense and obviously special teams. We don't talk about it enough, but special teams will be huge. They're going to have a lot of athletes on special teams. Can't give up any cheapies or make many mistakes there. So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing for every football game, but I think it really comes down to some simple things. Can you execute in those phases or can't you?
Yeah, you know, for me, the key to the game is Juwan Jennings being suspended for the first half. For those of you who don't know, he stomped or stepped on a Vanderbilt player's head on the sideline. He's suspended for the first half and getting out to a quick start because he's their best player on offense, in my opinion. And Nigel Warrior is their, and it's a heck of a name for a defensive player, too. Nigel Warrior is their best defensive player. But getting out to a fast start, IU's done a great job all year getting out to fast starts. I think they're in the top five in the nation in points in the first quarter. They're outscoring opponents. I think by 60 points in the first half. So just getting out to a lead, and then you could use that run game to, you know, kind of control the tempo of the game, control the offense, and build on that lead. And Matt, you talk about special teams. One of the big things is Logan Justice going to bounce back? We saw him in practice a couple of times. He missed some field goals. He hit some field goals. But it's still, you're kicking on grass. The weather report is pretty good right now, 74 and sun for game day. But it is Florida. I guarantee it's going to rain at some point when we're down there. And it's, you know, can he mentally get back into it after, you know, about 6 weeks off? And with that, it's those field goals are the tack-on points that you need. If IU could get out to a lead and just start tacking on points, and make it a 2-3 score game and force Tennessee to throw the ball a little bit more, Indiana should be in pretty good shape. And then it's you gotta stop with these killer penalties in the secondary as well. We saw against Purdue there were a lot of, now look, David Bell's a heck of a receiver, and Bryson Hopkins is a heck of a tight end, but there are a lot of plays where IU bailed out Purdue on third and long with, you know, a holding call or a pass interference call or a face mask call. Those are the things that you worry about when you've had 6 weeks off. Is that that's where the rush shows up. It's not going to show up in all that much in how they actually play the game on the field. It's the penalties. Are you going to Are your fundamentals off? They've had 6 weeks to get it right. And so that to me is take care of penalties. You know, some are going to happen. And look, Alabama's one of the best teams in the country. They led the SEC in penalties. But it's those third and long when you could get off the field and those 15-yard penalties or penalties that give you an automatic first down. You saw it against with Ohio State against Clemson. And you could bitch and moan about the calls all you want, But those penalties absolutely killed Ohio State in that game and things like that. So those are my keys to get off to a fast start. I think that'll get the IU crowd into it. And Tennessee, the Tennessee fan base seems like the IU basketball fan base, where if it's going south early, everybody's going to, you know, is going to be out for themselves and things like that. And that's just based on Twitter itself and watching IU basketball fans over the last couple of years. But it seems that there's a very similar mentality in the fan base of, this is Indiana football and we're Tennessee football and we should beat the pants off of these guys. And so I think Indiana has to take that underdog mentality, even though it's about a pick'em game, take that underdog mentality and go shock the world, according to Tennessee fans. But other than that, you know, it's play your game and then run the ball. I think health-wise, they need Stevie Scott back. It sounds like Samson James is full go. It looked like Matthew Bedford was full go, and all of those things. So, TJ, anything else to add on what IU needs to do to win?
Well, I think running the ball is going to be very important. We know that for Indiana to really be successful on offense, they do not want Peyton Ramsey throwing the ball 45, 50 times. They need to establish the running game, ideally, you know, max go above 4 yards a carry, and hopefully get some chunk plays as well out of the ground game. That really opens up things for DeBoer from a play calling perspective, and opens up things for Peyton Ramsey to try and stretch the field a little bit against a pretty solid Tennessee defense. I do think Tennessee has the better of the two defenses. I'd take Indiana's offense over Tennessee's offense, particularly with Jennings out for a half and Guarantano in at quarterback. I'd definitely take IU's offense over theirs. But, you know, I'll ask both of you guys a question here. You mentioned the secondary, Sammy, and Indiana, in my opinion, it's been kind of a glaring deficiency finding a second corner opposite of Taiwan Mullen, a second guy that we can really feel good about. And then I have not been particularly impressed with the safety play, especially in the second half of the season. So who do you guys think outside of Mullen, who are the other three guys? Because we've had, you know, 15 practices. You mentioned, Sammy, the 6 weeks off to, you know, try a lot of guys at giving them reps. Do you guys have any inkling of who we're going to see kind of emerge as the top three guys for this bowl game outside of Taiwan Mullen in the secondary?
I'll let you answer first, Matt.
Well, I think towards the end of the year, you know, Reese Taylor was a guy that had really come on at the other corner spot.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, I think if the depth chart holds true, you know, I would guess he'll be the starter. I mean, they rotate guys, you know, with Jalen Williams probably being, you know, maybe the number three corner, and then obviously Raheem Lane will be in there. DeAndre Brown, they've been using some. They've been putting him in passing situations at safety. You know, at safety, you know, I know he's not the most athletic guy. I want Khalil Bryant on the field. I just think he's a guy that, you know, while at times, like I said, athletically, he may be a little bit deficient against some other guys. I think he's a really heady player who knows what he's doing, usually in the right position. Yeah, I think he might be the best tackler on the back end, or at least right up there. So, you know, I don't know if that's a good compliment or not. But, you know, at the other safety spot, I mean, you know, Juwan Burgess kind of, you know, teases you with his potential, but then he'll make some really boneheaded plays. He's got called for a lot
yep.
of grabby hand penalties. You know, but then he'll make some plays where you see that talent. It's just not consistently there. I'm not really sure what's happened to Brian Fitzgerald this year. He's really been a disappointing year. You know, he was, I think he led the team last year in interceptions. And, you know, as a whole, I don't think the safeties have any interceptions this year. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think they do. And it's just been kind of a disappointing year for Brian Fitzgerald. Devon Matthews has kind of battled some injuries, last year and I think a little bit this year. Even him, and maybe being back in Jacksonville, maybe this will be a game where, you know, he'll kind of step up. But so far, you just haven't seen a lot of it. Those would kind of be my guys. I mean, I know it kind of rambled on their name more than you wanted, but, I think Khalil Bryant's the guy I'd like to have back there, and then probably with Burgess. And then I think it'll be Reese Taylor and Tywan Mullen. And, in the second half, I would guess Tywan Mullen shadows Jennings like he did David Bell in the Purdue game.
Well, I
just don't think Tywan's big enough for Jennings. That's my big concern with putting Tywan Mullen on Jennings. Jennings is 6'3", 208. I mean, he's just a unit of a wide receiver. And, Jamar Johnson played well against Purdue. It's where you need a bigger – you kind of wish that Marcelino Ball hadn't fallen off the face of the earth because he's a guy who's fast enough to stay with Jennings and big enough to not be totally bodied out with him. But
if we can't have him on the field. I mean, he's just I cannot remember the last time Marcelino Ball played a really good game. He's made plays here and there, but more times than not, he's standing out for the wrong reasons this season. Jamar Johnson, has unequivocally been better.
Yeah, and for every good play Marcelino has made, there's been a 15-yard personal foul. And things like that that have absolutely killed IU.
Blown coverage,
or tackling the Michigan State guy at the 2-yard line when he's going in for the end. Just not very heady plays for a guy that you were counting on who came in, I believe was a freshman All-American, and he's just not that same caliber of player that he was as a freshman. So I would say Jamar Johnson. Jennings' size is the only, with Tywan Mullen at 5'10", and, probably 170 pounds, that's a tough ask to body up against Jennings, and he'll probably need some help there.
The biggest corner is Lane, and we can't put Raheem Lane on him. That would not go well. So, yeah, they'll have to get creative with that. That'll be an interesting one to watch for sure. And there might have to be some different type of scheming from Kane Womack and Tom Allen to kind of match up with that. 'Cause there's not a ton of guys like him in the Big Ten. I think the closest thing is probably going to be Minnesota's guys. Bigger wideouts that are really physical, like a Tyler Johnson. But Indiana didn't play them this year. So Michigan has a couple of bigger receivers, but their main guys have turned out to be, somebody like a Nico Collins, who's not that big. So it'll be a different type of matchup for Indiana for sure.
Yeah, and then I would put Mullen on Callaway. Callaway's their deep threat, averaging 21 yards a catch. Now he only has 26 catches, but he's the guy who can take the top off of the defense. And Tywan's probably one of the faster guys on defense. Or you could put Jalen Williams on him as well and maybe double-team Jennings. But that was my matchup to watch as well, TJ, was how Indiana's secondary is going to go about guarding this this Tennessee wide receiving core. On paper, the numbers don't really jump out at you as they have more talent in that receiving core than their numbers say. Matt, any other matchups to watch in your eyes?
I think an interesting one for me will be, I know there's teams that play odd man front at times in the Big Ten, but this is a team that, their base defense is a 3-4. The only other team in the Big Ten that really plays that all that does that is maybe Wisconsin. And obviously Indiana didn't play them this year. So, you know, Indiana's offensive line against the 3-4. Jeremy Pruitt coming from, the Nick Saban coaching tree, and obviously the way he does things, just, you know, how they match up against them. And we talked about running the ball. Does this cause problems? I mean, Matthew Bedford's played well, but he's also a young guy, and things, stunts and things like that, blitzes, different things can at times have rattled him, especially later in the year. Is he a liability at times against this defense, and then against this front seven? And then just pass protection against that as well. What do they try to do? Get in the minds of some of the IU alignment. So, you know, it's a veteran group for IU, except for obviously at left tackle. But to me, that's going to be an interesting matchup. How do we match up their big in the front, in the defensive line, and their front seven? It's a little bit different defense than Indiana's kind of faced maybe this year. Penn State maybe is kind of similar, but obviously Indiana did a pretty good job against them. So that to me is kind of a matchup I'm going to watch, is our offensive line against their defensive line.
Oh, yeah, and having 6 weeks, to get ready and get people healed up. You saw, heard Hunter Littlejohn was dealing with nicks, and Simon Stepniak is dealing with, bumps and bruises. And, Matthew Bedford, who didn't play in the Purdue game, he needed to get healthy too. So hopefully the offensive line is outside of Coy Cronk back to full strength and could – make up for that. I never really liked the three-man front in terms of that. So maybe IU will have some luck running the ball as well. TJ, did you have another matchup to watch outside of wide receivers and DBs?
I think Indiana needs to do a really good job on the front against Tennessee's running game. Got to get some penetration, not let Tennessee's backs get into the second level. Looks like they're going to lean on their freshman running back, Gray. He's been the guy for them here in the last part of the season. Whether it's him or Chandler or they'll rotate guys. Whoever it is, Indiana's defense, particularly the front, needs to beat that offensive line, get penetration, let the linebackers for the Hoosiers get to the ball and make plays before they get into the second level. I'd worry about Tennessee's running game getting going, which would then open up that passing game. I think the biggest issue for Tennessee's offense has been the inaccuracy of the passing game, particularly from Guarantano. And I think that's going to be IU's biggest asset, is if they can kind of limit the running game, force Guarantano to beat them, and still get some pressure on him. You can probably force him into some poor throws that you can take advantage of. So, for me, Indiana's defense needs to do a really good job of limiting the running game, because that's what Tennessee's going to try to lean on and impose their will. I think they'll probably come into this thinking that they'll just be able to whip Indiana at the line of scrimmage, and it's up to the lines on both sides to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and it helps that, Indiana was banged up on the defensive line as well, and with 6 weeks to heal up, you'd think that CO could make a difference, and Jerome Johnson, the last game of the season, and you could play these guys a little bit more now that you're rested and hopefully a little bit healthier. We'll see what they do with some of these four-game redshirt guys up front, but I want to see these defensive ends get after the quarterback as well. James Head and Lance Bryant, Alan Stallings has had a decent year this year too. When IU was playing well during that four-game stretch, those defensive linemen were making plays, knocking the ball out, causing fumbles and things like that. So let's get into predictions. TJ, we'll go with you first. What is your prediction for the Tax Slater Player Gator Bowl on Thursday?
Well, I mean, bowl games are so difficult to predict. Like I mentioned earlier, you just never know how motivated teams are going to be, what their focus is going to be on in practice. Is it more about developing young players? Is it more about winning the game? You never know how that's going to go, so it's difficult to predict. I have a feeling, and this has been a special year for Indiana, and I know that this game means a whole lot to the coaching staff and the players. It's very important to Indiana to go there and put on a good performance. I think that's what's going to happen. I do not see Indiana laying a goose egg in Jacksonville. I don't think Tennessee will either. I think it'll be a very good, entertaining, close game. I will take the Hoosiers to win this one, though, 31-28. I'm going to go with Indiana getting it done and ending that long bull drought, finishing the season up at 9-4.
All right. Matt, what is your prediction?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with TJ. These games are hard to predict because you just don't know what teams, where their mindsets are. But I think you're going to have a very motivated Indiana team. I would assume Tennessee will be somewhat motivated, but I think they're obviously, if you go by their fans, maybe the players and coaches don't feel the same, but they obviously are looking down at Indiana like this is, you know, they're basically mm-hmm. not deserving of being in the same bowl game with them. And I think in Kalen DeBoer's last game, I really think he's going to put down, I mean, obviously his game plans all year have been really good. I mean, take out the Ohio State game, which was an outlier. They did that to a lot of teams, but his game plans have been really good. I think he's going to have a great game plan. I think this team is really going to, you know, offensively is going to come out. I think they're going to play pretty well. I'd like to know if Stevie Scott was playing for sure, but I still think that even if he's limited or even not playing, I still like Indiana, you know, on offense to do well. To me, it'll come down to can they kind of limit some big plays on defense. With Jennings being out for the first half, that's obviously a big deal, as we talked about. I'll go with IU. I think they're going to win this game. It's about time to get the they've gotten a lot of monkeys off their back this year, and I think the next one to get off their back is, you know, not winning a bowl game, and, you know, the Last Supper or something. It's been a long time. So I'll take Indiana. I'll go 34-30.
To put it in perspective, Matt, our good friend Paul O'Neill was still on the Reds. when Indiana last won a bowl game. So that was a long time ago. I'm going to take Indiana to win the game, too. I think it's going to be a good game. There's such an evenly matched teams on the field. Hopefully Indiana might need a big special teams play, which they really haven't gotten outside of the kicking game all year. At the beginning of the year, I thought David Ellis could break off a few runs, but that never happened. But I'm going to take Indiana 31, Tennessee 27. I just don't think Tennessee has faced offenses that are better than Indiana's, but I don't think they've faced a passing attack that has been this potent as Indiana. You know, their wins against Kentucky when Bowden was playing quarterback, and it was mainly a rushing attack with him. And, you know, mm-hmm. Missouri's had their situation where they were ruled ineligible for, a bowl late in the year. And Vanderbilt was just god-awful this year. Probably even worse than Northwest. I just think Indiana has too much offense for Tennessee, and the defense will do just enough, especially with the inconsistent play from Tennessee's quarterback. Now, if they put it Brian Maurer, it might change things. I think he's a better quarterback, but he rarely finished games while he was starting, and, you know, while he looked good in spurts, he's still a true freshman, and just he couldn't put all the tools together. So I'm going to take Indiana 31, Tennessee 27, in a really good bowl game that everybody, all college football fans, if they're looking to watch a game that night, all eyes will be on IU, Tennessee, and the Gator Bowl, because they're the only game on at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening. There's no NFL,
mm-hmm.
And they're the only college game, unless you want to watch meaningless NBA games. This is the only show in town. So it should be a good showing for IU. I think that, you know, as you said, Matt and TJ, this team seems really hyped up for this game. You've seen it in the videos they put out. There's a sense of urgency. There's a buzz around this team and things like that. And you know that they want to send Kalen DeBoer out to California with a win and to match the program record for wins. It's something all three of us didn't bring up, but to match that 9-win mark would be something pretty special as well. So, Matt, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you down in Jacksonville. Drive safe from Atlanta. And TJ, thanks for joining us as always. Enjoy watching it from Indianapolis on TV. And we wish you were down in Jacksonville with us.
Yeah, I do as well. It'll be much much warmer there. So have fun in the nice weather. And, you know, hopefully everyone has happy and safe New Year celebrations. And we can kick off 2020 with the Indiana win. The Hoosiers will be the last Big Ten team playing football. So, you know, in things on a good note, I could care less what it could not care less what it does for the conference, but hopefully for IU football, that starts off the new calendar year with a really big win. I know it would just be technically an exhibition game victory, but matching the program history for wins, that's a big deal. That's really important. It's a season that the players and coaches should be proud of, and adding that one more thing would be a really big deal and a nice send off for DeBoer. So that'd be a really cool way to end things.
Yeah, and I don't see it as these games as exhibition games. The stats count, the records count. A lot of times in basketball and during those exhibition games, those don't count. So I think it'll be a big win for IU to win on Thursday, get that 9th win and things like that. So thanks for joining us on the podcast this evening. Indiana kicks off against Tennessee in the Taxpayer Gator Bowl on January 2nd in Jacksonville, Florida. The game will be broadcast on ESPN. Follow Hoosier Huddle for all your Indiana football updates. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Find us on the internet at HoosierHuddle.com. For TJ Inman and Matt Weaver, I'm Sammy Jacobs. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your New Year's. Have a safe and healthy New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Enjoy the bowl games January 1st. And then January 2nd, IU fans will want to ring in 2020 with a big-time win over an SEC team in Tennessee who has as much history as anybody in the sport.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.